Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Apparently, Michelle's family a big fan of how I say their last name. Apparently, I say it pretty well.
Perfectly, Robbie. You say perfect.
Look, that's what I'm here for.
Who specifically is a fan of the, of your pronunciation?
My mother, Carolyn, and Dan, my stepdad. Dan the man. Big sports talk radio guy.
Yep.
And so they,
what I'm here for, Dan.
What are they? They're saying this on what platform?
It's which, just what Michelle told me.
Okay. On my individual FaceTime line.
Your own individual text line? Oh, yeah. FaceTime line.
Yeah, not
You're
right now.
FaceTiming right now?
No, not right now.
It's like, wow, that's incredible multitasking, Michelle. And you're the commissioner.
Yeah.
I wear a lot of hats. What can I say? And headphones.
Right.
And headphones.
That's right.
Commissioner Knezovic.
Nice.
That's a nice ring to it.
I like that. Very good stuff here on the show today. Going to have Justin Bradford from Penalty Box Radio joining us at 9:30 today here on the show. Looking forward to his thoughts on Predators Development Camp. Well underway at this point. They're going to have the Future Stars game later today at Predators Development Camp. So looking forward to having Justin Bradford on the show at 9:30. And look, we may or may not throw a few pronunciations to toss his way as well.
Some analysis, some pronunciations.
That's right.
That's what we count on from Justin Bradford, along with some excellent food picks and also taste in music.
Could have a lot of variety.
He does it all, man.
That's right. If you missed it, Monty Rice back on the field today. Jarrett Stillman down at Titans practice covering things for ESPN 102.5 The Game. Day two practice between the Titans and the Buccaneers. And Joe, it was interesting. Apparently things went pretty well for the Titans yesterday down in Tampa Bay. There's some videos coming out from Teron Davenport and Jared and all sorts of reporters down there in Tampa Bay of Caleb Farley matching up against Mike Evans. Pretty good play made by Caleb Farley on the ball. Elijah Molden making some plays yesterday in the secondary as well. All in all, it seemed like both offensively and defensively, pretty good day yesterday for the Tennessee Titans against Tampa Bay and the defending Super Bowl champions.
Yeah, from a collective, you know, team standpoint, sounds like they did pretty well. And again, it's not like Vrabel was celebrating anything because, I mean, he understands this is practice and the point is for people to get better and to work on things and all that. But the fact that the Bucs were a little bit upset probably tells you a little bit about that, right? They, you know, Arians wasn't super happy with how it went. So
Brady wasn't overly thrilled with the offense in his comments either.
And he was very complimentary of the Titans defense.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? If Tom Brady says you have a good defense, what does that mean? Is that the curse of Tom Brady, or has he touched you and you're now the golden child defense? I don't know.
Do we think that the Titans were inspired yesterday in the huddle that they were in before practice began with Tom Brady? It's got to play a factor in this.
That's right, because they all huddled together, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah, just those words of wisdom must have helped everyone play well, but not his own teammates. So I don't know. I don't know how to take all that.
How do you kind of view these practices? Obviously, it's cool. It's nice to see your teams and your ones get some work against other quality starters, especially in this case, you're going up against the defending Super Bowl champion. So how do you kind of view these practices, their importance level, the work that gets done on these days? How big of a deal are these practices that the Titans are having against Tampa Bay?
Well, I don't think they're necessarily a big deal in terms of drawing conclusions. I mean, I think what are we taking away from Titans camp so far? I mean, what we're taking away is certain individuals who are establishing themselves. One, we talk about the 53 a lot, and that's fine, but also who can actually help this team? And I think we've seen some guys in this camp emerge. Do we have some really a great feel for how the Titans are going to do in the season offensively or defensively? Not necessarily. What is going on right now?
I just opened the blinds, get a nice look at Ryan Porth locking his keys in his own car. That's all I did.
Wait, you saw? Okay, so he's out there. What's he
you
trying to do?
You can see him right now.
Yeah, he's out there. I don't know what he's doing.
Chill, right,
hold on, I got to get out.
Ryan Porth has locked his keys in his car in the parking lot, so I don't really know what he's doing at this moment. Rex Road just gets up in the middle of the show.
At least he's already at work. I will say that, yeah. Right?
He's just standing there.
Anyway, back to the Titans. Thoughts on the practices?
Does anyone have like a Slim Jim? Is he calling a locksmith?
I don't know.
Oh, man. Or?
It's a tough one, Porth.
Is there a key at home?
Now he must be listening to us on the
app. Is he listening?
He's looking through the window at the moment. Shout out to Ryan Porth.
Shout out Ryan Porth. Yes, that's right. We brought this to the public. Just like if, we can talk about dogs pooping and me stepping in it in the house. We can talk about Ryan Porth losing his keys.
Good luck, Porth. So now with Michelle taking over fantasy football commissioner duties, Keith on the text line has texted in, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mishgadel Krodrovic. The combination of Michelle Knezovic and Roger Goodell.
Never ceases to amaze us with the names. I'm looking forward to Keith's fantasy football team name.
I was about to say. Keith also in the fantasy football league.
We need creative names. Everybody who's joining the league, I'm thinking of mine. I've got some good options.
There you go.
I know. I have to come up with a new name.
It has to be something with Tom Brady.
Maybe I could do something like that. My name for the Titans Media League, which I won handily, by the way, is O'Banion, which, of course, as anybody who should know from Days and Confused, is the best Ben Affleck role ever.
Yeah.
Big
Ben Affleck.
Fred O'Banion. Yes. Fred O'Banion, two N's, Ben Affleck's shining moment as an actor.
Not to be confused with Ed O'Banion.
Right. Ed O'Bannon. Yeah. This is O'Banion with an I. O'Banion.
That's right.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's probably the perfect team name. He was a great football player. He was so good that he flunked and he came back and played another year of high school football.
That's right.
So as for the Titans.
By the way, no Chester Rogers, no Marcus Johnson, no Julio Jones, no A.J. Brown on the field today for the Titans as well. This coming from Ben Arthur, I'm seeing this from.
Is that, so with Marcus Johnson, is that a load management day? I mean, he's been out there every single day, and he's been really good every single day. Or did he tweak something yesterday?
I don't know. I mean, at this point, the way he's performed, I don't know that I'd be surprised if this is just the Titans giving him a day off. Like, at some point with Marcus Johnson, I think you've seen enough, and you're like, all right, I think we know what he is. We know what he's brought to the table. And at this point, I mean, we might have already reached that point with Marcus Johnson.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's also just – it just seems like it's – valuable work, because that's the thing. Going back to the original question of this segment, before Ryan Porth rudely interrupted us with his key issues, I mean, I think the big thing here is just that you get the chance to do work against top players not on your team, and in a format that allows you to do more stuff than you would do in a preseason game. Like, you just can't. You're not going to have those guys out there against them. Even if the starters were playing this week, it'd be a couple series. So. That's the value. So, like with Marcus Johnson, I think you're right. You've seen enough. But I could also argue, go ahead and see if you can take it to Antoine Winfield another day. You know, and I just – it just seems like it's valuable work. So, I don't know. It's just speculation. Maybe he just has a little thing. And I mean, the thing with Marcus Johnson is, and this is really why his career – why he was available for the Titans to grab, is he has had a lot of injuries in his career. They have really – stifled what I think could have been a better career right now. You can see his ability and talent at healthy and full speed. The guy is a starting NFL wide receiver. And I didn't realize that until this camp.
Yeah.
But that's what he is.
Well, and looks like he's going to end up playing a pretty important role for the Titans this year as well. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, including a conversation about a guy Joe Rextro thought may be a lock to make this team, but maybe now is in jeopardy of being cut. That coming up next. This is Robbie and Rextro here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com to check out Nashville's best deals. This week's deal is from Joyland in East Nashville. Joyland is a fun new concept by Chef Sean Brock, designed to spread joy through his love for cheeseburgers, shakes, fries, fried chicken, and buttermilk biscuits. That's speaking my language. You can get half off a $25 gift card now at thegamenashville.com while they last. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Shout out to Ryan Porth, looking like a lost puppy in the parking lot out here, locking the keys in his car. It's a tough one. I think we've all been there before.
Yeah. I mean, I want to make fun of him more, but I do kind of feel bad for him, you know? That's tough. I've certainly been there. You've been there. Been there? No.
Well, now I just jinxed it.
I was about to say.
I've had a flat tire, though, so that's pretty much just as bad.
But that's not something that you did. I mean, flat tires suck, but
true.
A flat tire is, that's a circumstance out of your control. This is something that was in Ryan Porth's control, and he blew it. So like I said, I really feel sympathy for him and don't want to make fun of him anymore.
Sure you do. Justin Bradford.
Hope he's not listening.
Justin Bradford coming up at 9:30. Looking forward to that conversation with him. Right now talking Titans. Teron Davenport reporting that Mike Evans just went up and snatched one from Christian Fulton. Got him on the one-on-one drill and beat him on a double move. So Mike Evans will do that to a few people going up and high-pointing the football.
Bench Christian Fulton. The secondary is a disaster this year, folks. That's all I can conclude.
That's right. Joe, we talked earlier in the show. There's one guy that you have felt good about making the team and that, quite frankly, has been widely associated with you, that now you feel like maybe the path to making the team could be in jeopardy. What do you mean by that? Who are you referring to when you say that maybe once a player that you thought was a pretty good lock to make this team may be in some trouble now?
Well, I'm looking at the entire picture of the position group we've talked about the most, which is the receiver room. And Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, who is apparently my client. I'm not getting 3%, but apparently I am his agent. Look, we had Jared Stillman on earlier, and I agree with Stillman said I was talking crazy talking about this with Westbrook-Ikhina. And I agree with Jared and anyone who says that Nick Westbrook-Ikhina right now is on the team. I would definitely pick him to make the team. However, I still think there's just a lot of tough conversations and decisions here when it comes to the receivers, especially if Des Fitzpatrick responds. Here's another big day for him. You know, apparently yesterday, not much. But, you know, is he going to respond? Will the light bulb go on for him? Will he come out Saturday night and make some plays and find something? I mean, look, Dylan Raiduns has recently found something. Rashad Weaver has recently found something. You saw both of them in the first preseason game as rookies, you know, show some progress. I mean, a little bit for Monty Rice, too. If Des Fitzpatrick does that, and again, even if he doesn't, it's arguable. He's a fourth-round pick. You're going to cut a fourth-round pick?
Right.
But if he does, then I think it's hard to imagine the Titans giving up on him. We now see Josh Reynolds getting healthier and looking very fast Monday at Nissan Stadium. I guess Jared said there wasn't much for him yesterday. Maybe today he will do more. Marcus Johnson's not out there for whatever reason. So, you know, some of those other guys maybe get into the drills a little bit more often. But, I mean, you go down the list, you got Julio Jones, you got A.J. Brown, you got Chester Rogers, you got Marcus Johnson. And I'm going to now say Josh Reynolds, okay, as your five. And I think that's your five that you feel most likely will actually be on the field with the offense. I mean, it's not like you're going to necessarily use five receivers in some games, but you certainly need four. And then often the fifth guy will get out there.
Well, but let me ask, is Josh Reynolds number five right now on that list?
I would say so, but I would say that could get interesting as we move forward. Okay, so there's five. I feel like the Titans are probably keeping seven. I'm sure they'll keep six. Right now, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina is six to me, and he's not just there. And I think he could make plays for this offense too. I mean, he has looked good. Don't get me wrong, but if he's six, and the special teams is a big part of that, but if he's six, so now let's revisit Des Fitzpatrick. Okay. How about Racy McMath? Mr. Like going to be the next whoever, like a few weeks ago. Sixth-round pick, could also be a special teams dynamo, although he wasn't all that impressive, I didn't think, as a gunner against the Falcons. But, I mean, you look at it, and someone is going to get squeezed out of here. I kind of like how David Beauclair looked at it. It was like kind of he pairs like McMath and Westbrook-Ikhina. If that's the case, I don't think it would be some big leap for, you know, a six-round pick to be cut. But you can still make the case, what could he be in a couple years?
Especially with that combination of size and speed. Like, I mean, physically, he just brings more to the table than a lot of guys. I mean, look, I know this was total hyperbole, and it's just not the case. But, I mean, A.J. Brown throwing around even reminds him of Julio. He's not saying that about, you know, Josh Reynolds or Mason Kinsey. It's because, you know, Grayson McMath is huge and fast and going up and high-pointing the ball. So, again, I mean, it's not a good comparison by A.J. Brown, but you understand why the thought process is there.
Yeah, and he was making plays left and right early in camp. It's you know, whatever has happened, he's faded a bit, but he's still an enticing prospect. So, if you expose him, are you gonna get him back for the practice squad? I have no doubt that the Titans would take those two guys, Fitzpatrick and McMath, put them in the practice squad and be happy with it, and develop them this year and let them, you know, give the defense a good look with the show team and all that stuff. But you can't. It's not how it works. You're exposing guys on waivers, and I think it's possible a team could. I think more with McMath. You know, based on what we've seen from Fitzpatrick, I mean, I think McMath has a higher ceiling as a player. I could end up being wrong there, but there is a lot of raw material there.
A little bit of a scuffle ongoing between Christian Fulton and Antonio Brown. This coming from Teron Davenport. Christian Fulton and Antonio Brown just had words after the last rep. Brown walked up to Fulton. They went helmet to helmet. Then Brown threw a punch. They were quickly separated. Brown thought he was getting held on the rep. So a little bit of intensity from Antonio Brown and Christian Fulton there, according to TD.
All right. It's going to be maybe a little bit more of a feisty day down there then, huh?
Could be. It's still hot down in Tampa Bay. Still very hot.
Well, Antonio Brown, very reasonable person, so I'm sure he had a valid complaint.
Sure that he did. Mason on YouTube. It's been a minute since we've had the defensive line and wide receiver depth that the Titans have right now. I think you can make a case at the wide receiver that maybe they've never had the wide receiver depth that they have right now. But certainly, it's been a long, long time since they've had great defensive line depth. How have you kind of approached that? And I'm taking the outside linebackers out of the discussion here, just the line itself. What have been your impressions on the defensive line so far through Titans camp?
I think that's one of the best developments of this camp for the Titans. Now, the one problem is one of the guys who, by the way, we said on this show a week ago before the Falcons game, Trevon Coley is a surprise, could make the roster guy. Now, of course, I mean, he's on IR, and that's a guy that was a real nice pickup. But Tart, Larell Murchison, second-year players, definitely had great summers. I have a sneeze. I'm sorry.
But if you talk about it, well, look, normally when you talk about it, the sneeze goes away. But not with you.
Do you do the thing if you have a sneeze on deck that you look at a light or look at sunlight?
Yeah, I do.
It works.
It does.
I didn't even need it that time. But, no, defensive line depth for sure. I mean, I think that's one of the big developments of camp, because obviously you brought in Danico Autry. And you know Jeff Simmons, you're hoping for a huge third season from him. But then it was the question going in, okay, but who's supporting those guys? I think they have guys who can make plays. Larell Murchison, that length, batted a couple Tannehill passes the other day. It apparently stood out yesterday in Florida. So I think that's been one of the best developments. And then now with Coley out, the question is who of those other guys will step up? I still think they need another, you know, player in that group. You've had a few guys, Woodrow Hamilton, the fourth, great name. Kyle Pako, you've had, Naquan Jones, and they've all been fine. Coley, I think, gave them a really strong five.
Yeah, I think so. And this is going to be interesting to watch from that front too. Can you have guys not only that impact in the starting lineup on the D line, but can you develop some sort of rotation, right? I mean, they didn't have a rotation last year. And then the rotation they tossed out there wasn't very good. Can you get quality depth? If you can get that, keeping some other guys fresh, keeping a Jeffrey Simmons fresh, keeping a Danico Autry fresh, that's a big deal in the grand scheme of things, especially when you factor in another game in the regular season this year too.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Now, so we've got conflicting reports here. So A to Z and also Jared are saying it was Antonio Brown and Chris Jackson, who's 35. TD saying it's Antonio Brown and Christian Fulton, who's 26.
Ben Arthur said Christian Fulton as well. So there's a lot.
Wow. We've got major conflict. I mean, Okay, Christian Fulton is 26. Chris Jackson is 35. This should not be that hard.
Need you down there.
Too much. I mean, do I have to come down there, guys? I'm coming down there tomorrow.
TD also saying that Mike Evans is cooking Caleb Farley in one-on-ones. Chris Godwin is eating, too. So Titans defense falling apart after yesterday,
yeah.
Joe.
Yeah.
What does this mean?
Scrap the season. Scrap the franchise. Again, one-on-ones, that's what should be happening. You know, DBs should be getting humbled, especially by great receivers. So maybe this is the Bucs strike back, and Vrabel will be all mad after today.
Brady, Darth Vader.
And as Jared was breathlessly, hailing the Titans yesterday, today.
Disaster.
They're going 5-12.
That's right.
I'm here for it.
It's going to be good stuff. When we come back, we'll be joined by Justin Bradford from Penalty Box Radio. Get his thoughts on Predators Development Camp and the Future Stars game today for the Predators as well. What has Philip Tomasino looked like thus far in training camp as well? All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Nashville Predators Development Camp is well underway. The Future Stars game taking place later today at 5 o'clock. And to help us talk about that and more, we welcome in our very own Justin Bradford of Penalty Box Radio, also editor-in-chief of the Locked On podcast as well, commissioner of the SEC Hockey Conference as well. And it's going to be really interesting to see how this development camp game plays out as well. Justin, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Hey, fellas. Good morning. It's going all right. It's a game day in Nashville. How about that?
It is a game day in Nashville. It's good to have that here with us. So, Justin, you've been in development camp. You've watched what's happened from that standpoint. Justin, what have been your thoughts so far in terms of what exactly has been going on at development camp? What, I guess, has stood out to you so far for the Predators at development camp?
I'm sorry, Robbie, you're muted, so I can't hear what you just asked.
Sorry about that. Justin, what's stood out so far at development camp?
The biggest thing that stood out to me was just on day one specifically with how heavy they were working these prospects. I mean, they just jumped right into drills where Carl Taylor, Scott Ford, they were doing some heavy explaining. And it wasn't just simple skills all the time they were working on. They're working on some big time drills to really evaluate these guys, because when you think about it, half these guys have not been seen at development camp because you have all the 2020 and 2021 prospects. This is their first time skating together in Nashville as part of the Nashville Predators organization. So it's a pretty important development camp just to get some evaluation to see where these guys are. A bunch of them didn't play really at all last season, or played very limited amount of time on the ice. If they played in junior hockey leagues that were very limited, like the OHL, like Luke Evangelista, he only got to play in the AHL. That was about it. He only played a very limited number of games. So it's very important that they were pushing them really hard to see where they're at. And you could tell some of these guys with their conditioning in the off season, some of them were hunched over, breathing real heavy after getting worked. So it's one of those things. That's what stood out the most to me, is how hard they're working them with the drills. And it's a different feel for me from previous development camps with the drills that they're running as well too. A lot of teamwork drills, a lot of passing, a lot of movement, exiting the zone, trying to basically look into the evolution of what today's game is, getting the defenseman involved, not being stay-at-home defense, but really involved in all the plays as well. So those are some of the things that stood out to me. We're going to see a lot of that in the Future Stars game today.
Okay, so do I need to unzoom now?
Yeah.
Okay. This is one of many reasons I don't like Zoom. Like, oh, wait, got to take this off. All right, Justin. So here's the question I have for you.
Yeah.
Philip Tomasino, is he going to be ready this year, do you think, to be not just a guy on the roster playing for this team, but someone who is really impactful? Is that realistic?
I think impactful is going to be very it's going to be very relative to how we're going to evaluate the season. Philip Tomasino should be on this roster. He's expected to be on this roster. He is making the right steps to be on this roster. I mean, he was successful in the AHL, and that's what you wanted to see. He made that big jump because they were able to work it out for he was able to play pro hockey last year. And that was a huge step for him just in the evaluation process to see what he was able to do playing with the Chicago Wolves, because Milwaukee wasn't playing. But for Tomasino to be able to put up 32 points in 29 games, taking that next step to pro hockey where he's playing against other men and adults, And then even he played in the World Juniors, 6 points in seven games. I mean, he had a pretty good season last year, given the limitations that were on him. So the expectation for him to come in and contribute is definitely there. I think you're probably going to see him starting out at wing, but they're going to give him a good look at center during the preseason just to see where he's at. Might as well. Why not give him that look? But wing is going to be the place to start him at to help him adjust to playing even bigger guys and bigger hits happening. But I don't think you want to see a breakout season for him. It's not going to be one of those things where you're going to expect 30 to 40 points out of Philip Tomasino. If you get 20 points out of him in, say, 50, 60 games, that's not bad for a guy jumping up. I mean, he's not a generational talent. We can't expect that given where he was drafted. But to have him have some potential and to see what he's doing to adjust to the game is what you want to see. You want to see him step up into the role and then keep on building from there, the evaluation process. But in terms of the Future Stars game, in terms of preseason, everything like that, you can see he is pushing himself very, very hard. He has all the right elements there. He has great puck handling skills, great speed as well, great confidence too. He has a big time confidence, and not to say that it's ego, but he has the right attitude to make himself a pro and to make the team coming out of camp. And that's what you want to see out of Philip Tomasino, is just taking those next steps appropriately. And he's taking those next steps every step of the way. He is being impressive. He is producing, and you can expect at the NHL level. I just wouldn't expect a breakout huge season from him per se, but you wanted to see him doing the right things.
Justin Bradford, from Penalty Box Radio. On the line, on the line, driven by WilsonCountyHunting.com. Justin, what stood out about Zachary LaRue, first round pick for the Predators this past year?
I mean, he has the elements to be an NHL player, and it's not one of those things where you expect him to be a top six player, an elite forward, or anything like that. But he has the makings of being an NHL player that's going to have a decent career because he plays in that gray area, and he also has a pretty good shot. I mean, that's one of the things that stood out to me. He has decent footwork, decent speed. He has a pretty good shot, but it's going to be his ability to mix things up. And if the Predators can make sure he maintains that work in the gray area, not going too over the line too much, he is going to earn his spot in the NHL because the type of player he is that can mix it up, get under the opponent's skin and whatnot. That's what this team is needed. They need to be more difficult to play against. And if you add that type of element, that is a Tkachuk type of role, a Marchand type of role, those things, as long as you can keep it in check, then that's going to secure him a spot on this team in the future. I mean, they signed him pretty quickly after the draft. They know what they wanted. I mean, they traded up to get Zachary LaRue. They traded up to get him. And when you trade up to get a player like that, it shows that they want him. They want that type of player. And I can see you smiling based on pronunciation. We'll get to that. I'm sure we'll get to Gunnable Fontaine, as Joe mentioned earlier this week. but Zachary LaRue, what I like out of him is that he has the elements right now. I mean, he's the kind of guy, they're going to give him a good look in preseason. I mean, he's the kind of kid that with his element of the game, he could be a fourth line player and play some games in the NHL this season because of the type of role he's going to play. And the expectations aren't for him to be a 50-point guy. The expectations are for him to contribute a little bit, to pop a couple ones in, but to be really difficult to play against and to make it to where he is the bane of the opposition's existence. He already has those elements in place.
Well, actually, Justin, I did want to ask you about it's Gunnar Wolf Fontaine, okay? I think that's right. But seriously, I mean, Gunnar Wolf Fontaine, I want to know if he's going to be awesome because he needs to be awesome.
He has the best name in this prospect pool. He really truly does. And the thing with him, just like a lot of prospects, and I don't want to harp on it too much, but it's going to be a lot of size issues. And it's not to harp on him. It's more you want to see what he has, if he can deal with those size things. I mean, we've seen the same thing with Patrick Harper as well. He has some pretty shifty hands as well. Gunnar Fontaine's those kinds of guys that he's been limited to a rat role type of thing. And that's even when he was drafted. That's what all the prospect reports said, that he's a rat type of player. Another one that's supposed to be difficult to play against. So if he can use that to the best of his ability and also show some offensive upside, there's potential for him there as well to make it. I mean, he's playing out of David Poehl's favorite, Northeastern University. And that's what you want to see. He's played junior hockey in the USHL. He's even played a little bit with USA hockey as well, too. So, I mean, there's makings there for him to be difficult to play against. But he has a more difficult road compared to a Zachary LaRue because of his size overall. So when you have that coming into place, he's going to have to do a lot of things to jump ahead of some of these other guys in the prospect pool. And shoot, just for the sake of his name, hearing his name announced by Paul McCann is just all the reason why he needs to make this team sometime in the near future.
He could be the most popular popular Nashville Predator of all time if he makes
absolutely.
The team.
Absolutely.
Like, we talked about not wearing a jersey, you know.
I will wear a Gunnar Wolf Fontaine jersey.
But with Gunnar Wolf as on the – not Fontaine.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Fontaine. Wolf. Yes. And Fontaine's Gunnar a great Wolf. Name too, but I will wear Gunnar Wolf.
Yeah. Well, we're all going to get jerseys.
Justin, before we let you go, you have to teach us the proper way to say some of these names. Are you ready?
Oh, boy. Here we go.
UC Saros.
Eustis Saros.
Oh, the rolling tongue is good.
But have you told stuff. Pete Weber who says Saros? Well,
I'm not going to correct Weber Mr. Either. Weber. Yeah. I would never do that.
Mikhail Granlund.
Mikhail Granlund.
Oh, yeah.
Granlund. Granlund. Yeah. See, I love that.
It's all the rolls of the tongue with a lot of the finish. Yeah, like just like it's supposed to be Pecorine.
Yes.
That's Italian, but it's not.
Pecorine. It does kind of sound Italian. Yeah. Justin Bradford from Penalty Box Radio has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Does an outstanding job covering the Nashville Predators, the Nashville Predators prospects, really hockey as a whole. Justin, is there anything you don't cover?
I mean, probably no, really. Yeah, hockey, that's I sort try of to do it all.
Well, actually, I do it all. Thank you.
Well, actually, it's everything.
Thank you.
That's right. Justin, appreciate you, man. Great stuff.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks,
absolutely. Justin Bradford from Penalty Box Radio, our guest here on Robbie and Rexford. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Justin had to say there. Get your thoughts as well on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, including an ever spicier day by the moment at Titans practice against the Bucks as well.
Fight, fight, fight.
There's some fisticuffs going on. We'll get to more of that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexford here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Tune into Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight on ESPN 94.9 as the Sounds take on Memphis, the AAA affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals. Pregame show with Jeff Hemp starts at 6:55, and the first pitch is at 7:10. Nashville Sounds Baseball presented by 312 Pizza Company and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thanks to Justin Bradford from Penalty Box Radio for joining us in the last segment. Some great information by Justin, who is as connected as anyone when it comes to the Nashville Predators prospects. So really appreciate him taking time to join us this morning here on the show. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Keith texting in, can we please get an update on Ryan Porth? I need some new material. Keith spelling Ryan Porth with three A's, like AAA, like who Ryan Porth's fixing to have to call to get those keys out of the car. It's good stuff, Keith.
Yes, Keith. Well done.
Very good. As far as I know, Porth keys are still in the car.
Yeah, I think he just sort of left them there, huh? He came in the building. He's like, well, I guess I got to go to work. What are you going to do?
I guess. Figure it out later.
And by the way, DJ Burnside says, awesome segment that we had with Justin Bradford on Twitter. I wanted to know your thoughts on Igor Afanasyev.
Wow, that was a good job by you.
Did I get it?
You did.
Thank you. But you say I did, but actually I need Justin Bradford to confirm that I did. I love the Granlund. Mikhail Granlund.
Pronunciation's good.
Like rolling the R has never been great for me.
Me either.
I have tried so hard to learn how to do it. It's just not working.
Well, some people who can like roll it and hold it, you know, like, but that's impressive to me. Thank you.
Matt on Periscope says, anybody else as excited about the season as me? The youth movement long overdue with the Predators.
Well, if you heard that segment, I think that was a nice dose of reality from Justin Bradford about Philip Tomasino. I mean, he's like, you know, about 20 points in about 50, 60 games, that'd be pretty good. I mean, I don't think a lot of Preds fans are thinking that's exactly what we're looking for. But you got to be realistic. I mean, it is a process. And that's what's going to be so interesting about him this year.
If he comes in this year and gives you a ton of offense, and by a ton of offense, I mean 35 points, 40 points, I mean, that's a great year if you're Philip Tomasino. Now, as he grows, as he matures, quite frankly, as he gets bigger physically, you're going to hope those come up. I mean, he needs to be a top six guy. You start drafting these guys in the first round with the skill set he brings to the table. I mean, you eventually need to get to a point where 55, 60, 65 points is the floor for a guy like Philip Tomasino. I mean, it's what needs to happen. I think to expect that early on may be a little bit optimistic. Now, having said that, Philip Tomasino spoke with us the other day in the media. He was on with Darren Donick and Chase yesterday. I mean, the kid's got some pretty high expectations for himself, which is exciting. I think you like to hear that if you're a Predators fan. But also, Number one, is he going to be in the top six this year if he makes the team? I don't know. I mean, you've got Granlund, Forsberg, Duchesne, Johansson all there, and Tolvanen. That's five spots. Cody Glass, that's six spots. Like, is Philip Tomasino going to be heavily involved in the top six, heavily involved in the power play? I don't know. I mean, injuries happen. I'm sure he'll be in there at some point. But how much time is he going to spend with other high-skilled players? I think that's a worthwhile question. And how he's going to develop and what you're going to see out of him this year.
Yeah, you got to keep it measured a little bit with him. And it's going to be fascinating, and it's important. And, you know, what you don't want to see is, well, it doesn't go well early, and then you kind of get back to, and maybe even with a couple guys, and you get back to kind of the older lineup. I mean, I suppose if that leads to a terrific season and an overachieving from what we think they'll be season, okay. But I just feel like this season has to be viewed as a real opportunity to get some of these guys to another level of play, even if the bottom line suffers a little bit for it. But I don't know that's how it'll be viewed.
Dennis texting in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Who would be the best line mates for Tomasino this season? That's an interesting question. I've seen a lot of Predators fans. They really want a Ellie Tolvanen, Cody Glass, Philip Tomasino line.
Oh, put them all together.
I don't think that's a good idea. I like having all three of those in the lineup. Playing all three of those together at the same time, I'm not sure, is the best formula.
That's awfully young.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing...
maybe two of those three together in some way?
Yeah, two of those three together. And then maybe a guy like, you know, Granlund on the other side or something like that. But I think putting all three young guys together on the line, it's exciting. It's also probably a pretty good way to get torched a few times too.
Yeah, yeah. It's good to have some veterans on your team also.
It is. Adam in Portland texting in, do I need to bring a wired coat hanger down there? I'm surprisingly impressive in this situation when it comes to getting keys out of the car. Adam, Ryan Porth may be calling you later.
That doesn't work with all cars, though.
It doesn't. But maybe it's really good.
I mean, it worked with my college roommate's El Camino. We used to tailgate with that sucker, man. Let me tell you. Get the keg out to the Munn Field early.
That's right.
Good anyway, times. Some fights in Florida. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The 90s were awesome.
That was an unnecessary shot. I'm sorry.
Nah, it's fine. I'm old. Some fights. We got some fights. Fred Brown. We got like the one receiver of the Titans roster that we never talk about. And he's okay. He gets a lot of reps. But Fred Brown... apparently just got into a little thing with somebody.
We've just determined that it was actually Chris Jackson and not Christian Fulton, who was into it with Antonio Brown earlier.
It was Chris
Jackson. It was Chris Jackson that got into it with Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown got kicked out of practice and then apparently has now found his way back on the field, working on 7-on-7s.
There you go.
Somehow doesn't surprise me he found his way back to the field.
It does not surprise me either.
I mean, the play-by-play of every rep is just fantastic. 7-on-7, every freaking play. Apparently, you know, I got Imani Hooker with a PBU. You got Ferkser out here.
Brady apparently just hit Gronkowski going down the middle. Got behind Byard. 7-on-7s.
You got, according to
Ben Arthur.
Yep, and Ben also has Ryan Tannehill picked off by the Bucks, Mike Edwards in 7s. Up. Scrap the season again. Scrap it. There's so many reasons to scrap the season.
Well, we talked earlier in the show about how well the Titans apparently played yesterday. The Bucks seem to be coming back a little bit today.
Yeah, Bruce Arians wasn't happy, so they came out with some fire.
That's right.
I mean, again, we've been talking a little bit about the Preds prospects and the future, all that stuff. Like, just imagine, like, covering that or anything else like this with practice,
play-by-play.
Practice play-by-play. Like, game play-by-play is annoying on Twitter.
Correct.
Like, I hate, and I mute some of my friends who cover teams because I'm like, dude, need the, oh, that was a good runoff tackle for 3, and here we go. Yeah. Second and 7 now at the 42-yard line. No.
It's like they're the ESPN app tracking where you are on the field. That's basically what some Twitter accounts are.
So, like, the idea that now we're getting play-by-play on practice to that extent. Pretty amazing, man.
It's with this league, man.
The NFL.
I can't really
it's
tell
the
you.
The NFL and everybody else.
Like at Predators practice, I mean, there are some impressive things that happen. I can't tell you the last time I've tweeted about a Predators practice, other than like when Philip Forsberg, hurt, when somebody gets hurt, or like when Philip Forsberg like does something crazy and like spins and puts a lacrosse style goal in. I'll tweet about that. That's about it.
Yeah.
Ooh, another line rush. Ooh, Ryan Johansson was offside on that play. They kept going anyway. That's basically what happens.
Or again, like any, go to any sport. If there's nothing.
Ja Morant, nice crossover at the top of the key, right by Jaren Jackson, just blew by him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like there's like NBA Summer League right now, which actually I like. I mean, it's
not bad.
It's good. You watch some of these young guys, but I mean, the NBA beat writers aren't like going nuts with that. From what I've seen, it's just the NFL. And the question moving forward today is, one, will Jared be totally down on the Titans?
We'll see.
And two, will Jared find another magical question-asking moment today?
Can't be with Tom Brady. What would it be?
Like, what would be available for him?
I don't know. I guess we're just going to have to find out.
I mean, actually, if Antonio Brown's out there, that could be an interesting
Antonio Brown. We'll have to see what happens on that front. Jared Stillman has your coverage all day long here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, down in Tampa Bay for day two between the Titans and the Bucks. That does it for us here today on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase is coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.